Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Taking a passage of the Bible, of God's very own word, out of the context in which God gave it, is truly a dangerous game to play. Yet that's something that many people and even pastors and other Christian teachers and writers do all the time. Jesus' statement in our gospel reading that we just heard in the last verse, that all things are possible for God, is a primary example of that kind of Bible passage cherry-picking that some people love to play. People have used this passage of Scripture for virtually every desire imaginable. They use it in the hope of having a loved one healed from a terminal illness. They use it in the hope for additional material blessings. A televangelist sends out an appeal to his followers on TV and online to donate their money so that he can buy a $54 million jet, because all things are possible for God. 1,000 times no. We must resist every temptation to list our material and our emotional desires and demands for happiness and for wholeness, and then believe that God will respond accordingly, because all things are possible for God. It's no wonder that we are so often disappointed and disillusioned in matters of faith when we don't get what we want. Quite frankly, most of what we want and think that we need is impossible in a way for God to give to us, because He knows better than we do what is best for us and what we truly need for the salvation of our souls and for our eternal life, which is God's highest priority for us. Some people also resist a careful study of God's word because they fear being grasped by the call and the claims of God on their lives. And so they approach God's word cautiously or suspiciously, desperately trying to keep God's word and His will at arm's length. And that kind of person would approach this passage of Scripture by thinking, well, certainly Jesus is not talking about me. I'm not rich. But aren't we all very wealthy? Even the poorest among us are still far better off than most of the people living on the world today. And certainly as we compare all of our modern conveniences and all the things that we so often take for granted each day, the computers in our pockets and everything that we have in our homes, we're far better off materially than most of the people of this world's history from past ages. So let's resist the temptation to keep this passage from God's word at arm's length, as if it were not talking to us, when God says how hard it will be for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. Surely we are all included in that statement. And Jesus continues after that, saying, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Wealth is involved here. We certainly cannot deny that. Perhaps this is God's way of telling us in absolute terms that money, especially large sums of money, is no key to happiness and certainly no guarantee of problem-free living. Rather, money and the desire for more money is often the greatest stumbling block to a rich faith and a complete trust in the Savior. Trust is so important. That is an absolute and unwavering dependence on God our Father, who gives us all that we need for our daily lives. But those who have so much at their fingertips, those who are mostly capable of getting whatever they want, whenever they want it, have trouble with humble trust and dependence on God our Father. When Jesus tried to push that rich young man in our reading today past the obvious and superficial implications of God's law into true discipleship, which consistently trusts in God for strength and for sustenance for daily life, that young man, unfortunately, just couldn't be budged. His lifestyle was simply too compelling. Jesus said to him, "Sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." Was this only a flair for the dramatic on the part of Jesus? Could Jesus really be serious about telling that man to sell whatever he has? Should we take Jesus at his word here? Why not? Is this word of God any different from any other word of the Lord to us? There's an urgency and a dependence that's involved here. That rich young man sensed it, but he did not have the spiritual courage and the faith to say, "My Lord and my God," and to follow Jesus as he instructed. Jesus told him, "Sell whatever you have and give to the poor, then come follow me." But that's impossible, we might argue. And it is. Just as impossible as it is for people whose heart and soul is tied to material things to enter the kingdom of God. The enticement of the world's treasures is so powerful that it's impossible for us to resist those temptations all of the time and to be perfectly devoted with our whole hearts to God and to his will as he desires and commands. We just can't do it. But sin is still sin, including the sin of having too much and wanting still more, or the sin of having so much and giving away so little of it. And sin makes being saved by our own power also impossible for us to accomplish ourselves. Now we can see today's gospel reading in the proper perspective. For people, it is impossible to be saved from our sinful preoccupations with ourselves and with money and possessions. But this is not impossible for God. As a free and loving gift, our gracious God has focused our eyes and our hearts away from ourselves and away from the needs that we think we have. And instead, he focuses our eyes on the cross of Jesus. To behold God's matchless love made real through the suffering, sacrificial Savior through Jesus is truly a humbling experience. To imagine that God would care for us that much is so unfathomable, but it is real. And just as we would not be able to believe this impossibility made possible if it weren't for the Spirit of God working in our hearts, neither could those disciples of Jesus believe this truth at first either. In the verses that just follow our reading, Jesus tells his disciples, as he told them on many other occasions, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise." Such love of our Savior for us and for all people. That is how the impossible has been made possible. Because of Jesus' death on the cross in our place, all of our sins are forgiven. We are free from slavery to sin, slavery to our desires. We are freely forgiven, and our lives are now belonging to God. We are free to live lives of not of selfishness, but of selfless service to God and to others. We are free for lives of service to the people of God, whom God places around us in our lives. We are forgiven for our desperate efforts of depending on ourselves for our happiness and wholeness in our lives. We are free instead to depend on God and on his mercy and his might. We are forgiven for the shallow, superficial expressions of discipleship, of of following Jesus in our lives. We are free for humble obedience to the call and the claims that God has placed on us. Forgiveness and freedom that were impossible for us to achieve or to attain by ourselves are now ours as a precious and free gift from God by His grace. God for whom all things are possible. In just a few weeks from now, we'll celebrate again the Festival of the Reformation. And on that Sunday, as we do every year, we'll sing again the battle hymn of the Reformation, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God." In the fourth stanza of that hymn, the writer Martin Luther powerfully expresses a faithful determination to follow our Savior, no matter what that may involve, even great harm and great sacrifice for ourselves and our loved ones. He writes, "The word they still shall let remain, nor any thanks have for it. He is by our side upon the plain with his good gifts and spirit. And do what they will, hate, steal, hurt, or kill, though all may be gone, our victory is won. The kingdom's ours forever." Our true victory has already been won by Jesus on the cross. We are already in God's kingdom through faith in Jesus as our Savior. And by His grace, we will be in that kingdom forever, even beyond the death of our bodies. So let's live out the thanksgiving to God for all that He has done for us, for our salvation, for all the ways that God has blessed us and continues to bless us with everything that we are and everything that we need for our daily lives. Amen.